Okay, kids, you can go to Kid Zone. Follow your fearless leader here.
I don't know about fearless.
Amen, Jack.
And Dr. O'Carey, would you come up here, please? Yesterday we had a wonderful time, and I want our leader, who is part of our body and is also the president of Horizon International Mission, to just give you a little report of what all went on yesterday.
I want to thank God so much for the privilege to be at Macrae yesterday. It's a mission that we've been planning for probably some months now. This is our second time of going to Macrae. Last year we were there, and we were able to see a good number of patients and witness people and planted a seed. This year, they decided to call us to come back again, but in a different perspective this time. We have the Georgia State Government that is interested in the work that we're doing in Macrae to support us in terms of covering malpractice insurance. We also have some other groups that joined us, the people that will take care of prescription for the patients in case we're not able to give them enough medication that will serve them for the entire year. And then we also have the Gideon Bible, people that distribute our Gideon Bible. And then we have our church and Horizon International Medical Mission. So it's a lot of groups that come together to reach to the people of Macrae. We were able to see approximately 50 patients yesterday. We were able to talk to them about Christ and work with the children ministry, work with the adults, and we were able to reach them. And some of the prominent things that we saw medically included diabetes and hypertension. Some of them didn't know that they have diabetes, and we just have to make the diagnosis there and start them on the treatment. And some of them already know they have diabetes, but they don't have the medication. And so their sugar is like 400. Some of them have hypertension. They're not taking any medicine. And so what you see there is just like what we see when we go to Africa. And same thing, uncontrolled diabetes, hypertension. And then you start wondering, is these people still existing in the United States where everyone think, well, everything is going fine. But when you go there, you see a little bit of third world medicine at the same time. And so I see mission these days that you can do a whole lot even at home here, just as you could do if you travel overseas. And it's a wake call for most of us that you can take part, you can support. If you cannot go, like I usually say, you can pray for us. So one way or the other, you'll be there, whether you pray or you donate, or you'll be there physically. So one way or the other, you can be there. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. King. Would all those that went with us yesterday stand up? Don't stand up, please. Yeah, come on, yeah. All right. Let's give these folks a hand. And we found out yesterday also, quiet, unassuming Erin Brown, but she took some stealthy pictures yesterday. In fact, she was able to find Brother Rick in deep meditation. He was interceding for us at the table there, as we had a great time. And the wonderful thing about this yesterday was that a lot of the local people, in fact, the county nurse came. She's a part of the church that hosted it. The Hispanic pastor that was, and probably three-fourths of the people that we saw yesterday were Hispanic, was there. Many of these people are part of his church. But then new ones came, and so it was a local thing. It wasn't like it was just out. People from the outside come in, do something, leave. The residue of the people there that getting a vision for that. A lot of the services that are available to us here in Savannah, I mean, we have everything soup to nuts. It's available to us. But in the rural counties in Georgia, a lot of things that are not available to them there. So served a great need, something that they want to continue. Brother Alvin, who Regina had met, who is over the Telfair Baptist Association, association of 16 Baptist churches there, he had done a lot of the legwork getting things ready. And it was just a great to see the Holy Spirit synergy take place. And you saw the guys earlier that showed up, the Gideon showed up. Of course, they have to wear their business suits when they come. And of course, we were teasing them the whole day, you know. As soon as I walked down, I told them, I said, man, you guys look good enough to bury. And they kind of took a anyway, a little religious humor, you know. But we had, we were ourselves and very comfortable there. But thank you for your prayers. It was a great, great time in the kingdom. It moved kingdom work down the road substantially in that county and surrounding counties. James, Jaime, where are you? Come up here, son. This is the brain trust here that thought for 2 years I was dissing him by calling him Jaime. Didn't know his Spanish, but he had a word he wanted to share with you.
I got the opportunity to go with the youth to Six Flags in Whitewater Thursday and Friday. And Kayshels and Alex, stand up for me real quick. There's three other people that if they were here, I'd have them stand up too. Their names are Patrick Kistler, Jasmine, and Chanel. And they come on a regular basis. You may not know who they are, but they come by themselves. There's not a parent that accompanies them. They call and they ask for a ride. And Scripture says that we can find out if somebody's a true believer by the fruit. Well, those five people, including those two that are standing right there, are the fruit of your kids and the love that they have for Jesus. And I found myself, y'all can sit down. I found myself Friday, after having spent the night in a beautiful hotel picked out by Dane, sleeping on the floor in a non-air-conditioned room, in the bathroom for the sixth or seventh time at Six Flags. And as we were riding home, Dane talked about how he had found it is just so important to be thankful, you know, when things are just bad, when you don't feel good. And I was talking to Stephanie last night, and some of you may know this, some of you may not, but I used to clean bathrooms for the company I used to work for, public bathrooms. And I could, if you want some stories, ask me later, but I could turn your stomach. But I found myself sitting in a Chevron close to the farmer's market in Atlanta, so thankful to be in this filthy, dirty bathroom. And I was in the public bathroom for, I don't know how many times I've been to the bathroom that day. I was miserable. Miserable. For those of you who don't know, I love Georgia football. Love going to watch the games. Love watching them win. I love a good meal. But all the discomfort and nausea and everything that I felt was worth it to be with those kids. They love Jesus. They love being together. I prayed with one of them last year right there for camp. You know what he wanted to pray for? 16 years old. He wanted to pray for as many people that didn't know Jesus to come to camp so that they could be saved. There's another one sitting right back there. It was time for the campfire moment of camp a couple years ago. He wasn't at the campfire. He was sitting off by himself. And he just needed to talk. He just needed to pour out his heart and say what was going on in his life. And another one last week, she said, I found out I wasn't going to be able to camp, and I just cried. Did she cry because of all the wonderful water slides and outward bound zip lines we have at camp? She cried because she knew Jesus was going to show up and she wanted to be there. I've heard it said that boys are bad. Well, check Michael Bonifacio and Clee Sellers. They are bad. They have taken Jesus Christ to Georgia Tech. Now I have something like Georgia Tech. And to Armstrong. Michael Bonifacio sets up a Facebook and he's writing scripture on the sidewalks of Atlanta. Clee Sellers pulls me aside one day and he tells me how he decided that watching TV wasn't that important at night because he could read more scripture and he could think about things and he could work out more. And they've set the bar high. They've set a legacy. And I wonder how many times we've heaped expectations of teenagers on them. They are not normal teenagers. They make me a better father. They make me a better believer. And I read the scripture with them this morning where it talks about Mary going to see Elizabeth. And as soon as Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, John leaps in her womb. When I'm with those kids, my spirit just leaps. They love Jesus. And if you think they're getting it wrong, they might make mistakes, but they make them out loud and they're honest and they give them to each other and they give them to God and they learn from it and they move on. I mean, Logan talked about worship a couple weeks ago and it has stuck with me that how I need to be honest in my worship. And that's a concept that I've never even fathomed. Let's not let our expectations get in the way of these kids. Sarah Forrester loves her mom and dad. She wants nothing more than to make them happy. Joel Paskauskas wants to be his dad when he grows up. I mean, he loves them. Joe, one word to describe Joe. Joe. Did anybody notice him and Kay dancing right here last week after the service? That is the love of Jesus. And it's awesome. Like, it's too much. Don't let what you think a teen is or what you did when you were a teen judge how you judge them. They are, and this is all testament to all of us too. You know, we play our part in it, but man, I'm sitting on the asphalt outside the exit at the Superman ride that I so badly wanted to ride, and Alex Hooks, who I would never know if it wasn't for somebody being willing to invite him, is sitting with me.
Thank you, James, for being honest before the Lord with us. It was about a month and a half ago. Audrey had just left to go to work, and I was sipping on a cup of coffee, and I looked out our back glass, our sliding glass door, and we've got birdhouses out there. We had one birdhouse, had five bluebirds in it. We got these, love to, our kids say, y'all have gotten old now. You're fooling with flowers and watching birds. And I was shocked as I looked at the birdhouse. The tail of a snake was hanging out of the birdhouse. I got a rake or something, went out there and popped the birdhouse open, and it was a chicken snake that I was too late. About that big round that was curled up inside that that birdhouse, digesting the five little birds in the birdhouse, our birdhouse. Well, just to let you know, I normally don't kill non-poisonous snakes. I made an exception. And I don't know what he was thinking when he went up to the birdhouse, but I know the last thing that was on his mind. It was some number 8 shot out of my 20-gauge shotgun. I started thinking about that in life, about all that is out there lurking against us. The stuff that's just waiting to devour the innocents. Our children, our families, our culture. It's out there seeking whom they may devour. We have a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. I didn't do a very good job protecting those birds because I knew weeks before I needed to put a tube around the post so that a snake could not get up there. Figured it's in the middle of the yard with our dog. Snake won't venture in there. But it did. And it killed the birds. The story I'm going to read to you today comes out of Matthew chapter 15. It's a story of a woman. She's called the Syrophoenician woman. Just a fancy, very long phrase to tell you where she was from. She's also called a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. And she comes to Jesus with a request because someone that was in her life, who was very innocent, who was very dear to her, was being attacked, was in great need of rescue. Now I got there too late to rescue. But this woman was right on time. In verse 21, chapter 15, hear this story. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew from the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and he said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Wow. What a story. Here's Jesus. This woman comes to him. She's a Gentile woman. Her daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. Isn't that interesting that that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would add that cruelly demon-possessed. Now, this isn't your average, everyday demon infestation. Cruelly demon-possessed. Wrap your mind around that and imagine for just a moment, how long had this been going on? Had it been, and in what way had someone left the gate open and given access to this girl? In what way has she given access for the evil one to come in her life in this way. For her to be demon-possessed. Got the picture? This is an everyday thing. This is something, this is a pressing need in her life. She's got to do something. She's got to intercede. She's got to come, and she's willing to do whatever she has to do for her daughter. What's the motivating factor for her? Love. She loves her daughter. And she's apparently, and we're reading a lot in here, apparently she's heard about this guy. And look what she calls him. Have mercy on me, Lord. Use that word, kurios, that word, Lord. They didn't use that word casually. Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. So she's picking up on the fact she's been listening to somebody. Maybe she's heard Jesus before, but she for sure has talked to people who have heard Jesus. Because she's ascribing to Him this designation, Son of David, which ascribes to Him His being the Messiah. Got the picture now? So, she realizes something though. This mother, this Canaanite mother, this Syrophoenician woman, realizes that there's a spiritual problem. Note, she doesn't leave her house going to look for a medical doctor. She's not looking for medicine. She's not looking for advice. She's looking for deliverance for her daughter. She realizes it's spiritual in nature. And by the way, all of our problems have their root in they're all spiritual problems. There's no such thing as a secular problem and a spiritual problem. There's no such thing as an emotional problem and a spirit. They're all spiritual problems. That's the macro. That's the macro. She goes right for the jugular here. It's a spiritual problem. It has a spiritual solution. She had properly understood the need. Now, here this woman, she knows enough about the Word, enough about things of the Spirit. She's apparently listened to people that have been under the teaching of Jesus to know that her daughter's demon-possessed. Didn't take rocket scientists to figure that out. In fact, there are some people I've heard interviews. Now we don't see demon possession manifest in our country as in the same way as in other cultures. That's beginning to change somewhat. But there are different ways that demons manifest themselves. But I read these stories that even some people that are away from the Lord. You know, at the bottom line, you can look at some of the movies that come out. People that they've never been in touch with Jesus, they say, something's wrong. There's great evil that's going on in that person. Back during 9/11, remember all the explanations they tried to bring that. When there's great evil, people out reaching to find what's the answer here. There's got to be something that's greater than just our human experience that's going on, something that's deeper, that's more sinister. She sees that. She knew that no one else could do what Jesus could do for her daughter. Do you believe that? No one else can do what Jesus can do. Now, first, she is rebuffed. She is rebuffed because Jesus ignores her. Verse 23, He said not a word to her. Yet she continues on, and she's getting louder. And what do the disciples want to do? Cut her off. Man, Jesus. I can imagine them going to some of the side chatter. Either deal with her or move her on down the road. Do something right now. How many times do you hear that said in our culture? How hellish is that? Oh, I got to do something now. Jesus, you got to do something now. No, he doesn't. He might not be through with letting you stew in the circumstances. It may not be time for him to act, but it's not time for you to cut him off either. See, in our culture, we're guilty of this all the time. We say, oh, we don't see anything with our human eyes. Oh, nothing's happening. Oh, really? Who died and left you in charge of everything you can't see? There's a lot going on that you can't see with your eye, can you? For you to come in and make a judgment like that, oh, we got to do something right now. Really? Really? I'm glad you came down from lofty Olympus with your designation for this situation. So now, not only is the woman, she's getting louder and louder. Now the disciples, imagine what they're thinking. And what is Jesus doing? They're becoming agitated by that. Let me ask you, have you gotten agitated by the screaming needs around you recently? Don't lie. Don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. Have you gotten agitated? Of course you have. The need, and even when the woman shuts up, the need keeps screaming. Because you feel the need spiritually. In a situation like that recently, where you could just feel the need that's just reaching out, and just like with grappling hooks and grabbing you. Of course you have. If you're in touch spiritually at all, of course you're feeling that. You know, go back to Matthew 9 where Jesus sees the people distressed and distraught like sheep without a shepherd. He's feeling that. And when we allow Jesus to move in our life, we're feeling that with the people around us. So, Jesus lets it ride a little while longer. And he makes a statement. He said, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He calls them the children. Yeah, it was his primary. He came as a revelation to Israel, to the world also, but through Israel. And she knows she's a Gentile. But she's so persistent, she says, well, even the dogs get some of the crumbs that fall off of the children's table. Does she have a great faith? Does she have a great persistence? Does she have a great love? Is she at the place where she's not going to be denied? Do you see it? Do you see the kind of intercession we're talking about? As she's standing in the gap, as a you could use this as an example, a model for intercessory prayer. You could see that, the parts of it. She humbles herself before Jesus. She recognizes him as who he is. He's the Son of God. As the Messiah. Now, I'm going to make this statement. This analogy, this breaks down, but it's the best one I could come up with. It's almost like she finds a loophole. She found one thread she could pull on. I mean, she's going all over the garment trying to, and at every place it's like she's being rebuffed. But she finds one thread. Well, even the dogs eat off the children's table, the crumbs that fall. And then she says, or Jesus says to her, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. There aren't many people in the gospel, in the life of our Lord, in His public ministry, that He ever said had a great faith. But this woman is one of them. A great faith. She saw the need of her daughter. And she saw the one who could meet the need. And she cried out. She placed herself in the gap. She was willing to do whatever. Now listen to me. A couple of questions. Who are you interceding for? You know what? Our world is lost, dying, and going to hell in a handbasket quickly. Just read the news. There are great things that are happening all over the earth, but there is the descent of our culture in this country. We see all around us, we are wrapping your mind around a guy that goes into a movie theater and just shooting up people. Who needs Jesus around you? And are you willing to do anything to see them meet Jesus? That woman, that mom, was willing to do whatever because she loved her child. Second question. Do you ever feel like God has ignored your request? Yeah. He did not answer her a word. When there's silence on the line, one of two things is happening. Either your spiritual ears are clogged up, that could be very, very possible, or He's chosen for there to be silence. Because in the silence, what happens? It flushes out everybody, doesn't it? It flushes out the disciples. And you see their mixed emotions about the whole thing. And they're willing to just push her on down the road. Yeah, we'll diss them today. But in the silence from Jesus, what happens to the mom's faith? Bing! I mean, you're hearing the bell ring again and again as her faith is hammering the situation. She's coming to an unworkable, unmovable, impossible situation, and her faith comes in there, and look what happens. That faith is that sweet aroma to the nostrils of God that He is attracted to. And we get to see the physical revelation of that faith revealed right here. But see, even the capacity to be able to exercise that faith was a gift from God. But she accepted it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Faith is, in Hebrews 11, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, we talked about last week. How big is your faith today? Where are you willing to stand in the gap? How many people in your life that are being cruelly dealt with by the world, the flesh, and the devil? They need Jesus. What motivates Jesus? His love. He does one of those miracles and delivers her long distance, you know? The TV cameras weren't even rolling, so they could get the results, and he could sign his book deal off of this. Of course, Jesus already had a pretty good book deal, you know. It's been on the bestseller list for a long time. Who in your life, when I ask that question, who in your life comes to mind? Do you think this woman would have laid down her life for her daughter? Of course she would have. That decision was never in doubt. Imagine what it was like when she got back home. Now, Scripture says she had a great faith. Do you think that as soon as Jesus said, your daughter is healed, what do you think happened to that mom? Let me tell you what I think happened. I think this 5,000 pound weight that was on her shoulders just went poof. It was gone. And I think that she flew back home. I don't think her feet touched the ground going back home. There was never a doubt in her mind that when she got home, you know, we look in the book of Acts, you know, the lame man, he was walking and leaping and praising God. You know, she was flying and praising God. And she got back there, and no doubt. Can you imagine what the embrace was like? My daughter is delivered. Jesus has set her free. Oh, man. Who in your life needs that kind of deliverance? They need salvation. They need deliverance from demonic oppression. They need deliverance from chronic depression. They need deliverance from a world system that is chewing their lives up right now. They need deliverance from a string of bad decisions that they made. And if something doesn't happen, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be death. And it may not be just physical death. It's going to be spiritual death. Do you love them enough to stand in the gap? What will you do? Will you pray? Will you put yourself there? Will you be brave enough, have enough faith today to ask God, Lord, I'm asking you, do something in this person's life. And be persistent. It's been amazing over the years when I find out one of my children wants something the creative way that they can come to me and ask me for it. I mean, complete with leaving pictures of it out. Bookmarks. Look over there. Dad, have you thought about this? It's amazing how the conversation, the situation, can be funneled down to that. I started to say need, that want. Can we do the same thing with Jesus? Let me ask you this. Do you love people in your life enough that you're willing to wear out Jesus' ear in their behalf? Just a question. Let's pray. Just a moment, we're going to open the altar to come and let you begin your intercession. Because no doubt while we were reading this passage today, God put some people on your heart. And some of them are not easy people. And some of them are not very likable right now. And some of them aren't very pretty right now. And some of them are obnoxious right now. But let's not let any of those things be unto death. Let's intercede today. Let's throw ourselves in the gap. Lord, we come to You today and we intercede for many that are on our hearts today. Many who need deliverance. Many who need You. Lord, some of us sitting here today, we have relatives. We have children and grandchildren. We have parents and grandparents. We have aunts and uncles. We have neighbors. We have work associates. That, Lord, You have placed us in their lives. And not for just to feel good, but to be the hands and feet of You. Lord, right now we intercede for them. We ask You to move. We ask You to work. Lord, may we commit today. Lord, I'm asking You to stir up our faith so we will take You at Your word and know that You can do the impossible because You're Lord. Thank You. The altar's open. You can come. Thank you.
Let's try a thirsty servant. Let it rain. Thank you.
We'd like to get those cards from you. There's a basket in the back and up front here. If you have an offering to bring, you can do that at this time. You may have felt a little hand clap that came through as one of our elegant ladies walked in today. Praise the Lord, Mary Wade is up and around and back to where she can persecute the people she needs to persecute. They had her down for a while, but she's not down anymore. We're glad you're here. It asks you to continue to remember Don Warren. Don's going to get some results back tomorrow from test, but let's join in praying for his healing. We also, today, I'd ask that you continue to pray for my mom. Mom had a tough week last week, and she's lost a good bit of weight, and she needs the Lord's healing on her life. That infection of really taking a toll on her in her lung. And today is Ms. O'Carey's last day with us. She is getting on the plane to go back to Nigeria. And so we want to say, send her out in the name of the Lord. And Ms. O'Carey, if you would give our love and our blessing to all of our brothers and sisters back there in Iagua. And let's pray together and we'll send you out. Lord, thank you for what we have seen you do, what we have heard you say, and we thank you in advance for all the things that we're going to get to be a part of by the hand of God. Lord, we want the testimony this week to be, it must have been the hand of the Lord, because man can't do it. We're asking you that, Lord. I pray a blessing over Ms. O'Carey, Lord. I pray you'll give her traveling mercy, get her back home to Nigeria. Lord, to share the blessing of God with our brothers and sisters there. We pray your healing, Lord, on all those in our church family that need your touch today. And we thank you that Mary Wade is getting around, is here today with her church family. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We send the body out now in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.